This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. This past Tuesday was Election Day, and it was a good day for Democrats as a whole, who won both the New Jersey and Virginia governor's race. Virginia also saw Danica Rome become the first openly transgender woman to win a seat in the state legislature. She beat out Bob Marshall, the transphobic Republican politician who introduced the state's notorious bathroom bill. Andrea Jenkins became the first openly transgender Black woman elected to public office in the U.S. and now sits on the Minneapolis City Council. And Ravi Bala became New Jersey's first Sikh mayor in Hoboken, New Jersey. And for our topic today, in Philadelphia, Larry Krasner was overwhelmingly elected the city's new district attorney. Krasner is a civil rights lawyer who has sued the Philadelphia Police Department dozens of times and represented Black Lives Matter, Occupy Philly, and protesters at the Republican National Convention. He's never worked as a prosecutor, and as district attorney, he has promised to never pursue the death penalty, put an end to cash bail, treat addiction as a medical problem, not a crime, stand up to police misconduct, end illegal stop and frisk, expand victim services programs, and keep Philadelphia as a sanctuary city. He ran against Beth Grossman, who was endorsed by law enforcement and served for two decades as an assistant district attorney. She was the Republican candidate. And by the latest count, Krasner won 74.6% of the votes, nearly 3 in 4, while Grossman took in 25.3%. Now, there was a swell of support behind Krasner, and that support is being seen as a rebuttal to U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions' reinvigoration of the war on drug policies at the national level. While Sessions is reinstating mandatory minimum sentences, Larry Krasner has pledged to end mass incarceration and put an end to drug war policies. His election could signal big change for the city of Philadelphia, a city that has the highest per capita incarceration rate of 10 largest cities in the United States, this according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Let us go now to hear from Larry Krasner himself, from part of the victory speech that he gave after his election. The source is Newsworks.
Story about the history of kings and queens. This is a story about a movement.
That's right, sir.
And this is a movement that is tired of seeing a system that is systematically picked on poor people, primarily Black and brown. This is a mandate for a movement that is loudly telling government what it wants. And what it wants is criminal justice reform in ways that require transformational change within the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. This is a movement that says we are not just voters. We are the bosses who pay the taxes. The salaries of the city workers. And we have every right to expect that we will get what we just told you we want, which is transformational change in criminal justice and in this district attorney's office. So how are we going to do that? Well, I'll tell you how we're going to do that. And we are going to do that. The way we are going to do that starts with election. We've done that.
Yeah.
It's not me, it's we. And then it goes to transition. If you, or anyone who knows, shares these values, shares this desire for things to get better, for people not to be divided, for society to heal, to reconcile and bring things together. If you, like us, believe it's time to end the death penalty, if you believe it's time to end mass incarceration, if you believe it's time to stop making prisoners for poor people by using cash bail. If you are sick and tired of government stealing grandma's house when she didn't do anything wrong. And if you have no intention of helping Trump's immigration agenda.
Alrighty, and there you heard a very enthusiastic crowd with Larry Krasner speaking to his supporters after his victory. And I'd like to welcome Carol Rosenthal. She is a neighborhood engagement coordinator with the Krasner campaign. Carol, thank you for joining us.
So nice to be here, Margaret.
I know, you must be so excited. And from what I understand, there was a huge turnout, 69% higher than 2013, and the highest turnout in 20 years. And this in the middle of bad weather, millennials flooded out to the polls. What happened? How did you all do it?
Carol. Well, I think there are two key ingredients that went into creating such an enormous turnout. One is Larry's message and his platform, and the other is that we had an incredibly well-organized ground game and a swell of volunteers.
Right. And tell us really the who I mean, he got practically 75% of the vote, a little underneath that. Who were his supporters? Who turned out?
Well, we don't have all of the breakdowns quite yet. However, we do know that people who turned out, number one, are millennials. We do know there are people who turned out because they wanted to find a concrete local way to resist the Trump agenda that would have tangible effects. And people who turned out are also very likely people who understand that mass incarceration in Philadelphia is a major impact, not just as a human rights issue, but also as an economic issue, an education issue. And that the city really can't afford to continue forward the way that we have.
Right. And, you know, there was some concern because the Fraternal Order of Police, who is so feared, particularly in elections for DAs across the country. I mean, they're feared like people fear the NRA, right? And that you really can't go against the Fraternal Order of Police. But they endorsed Grossman, the GOP opposition to Krasner, and she came in with something like what? 25% of the vote. You know, tell us a bit about that and also about the concerns for some white bleed of police officers who were Democrats but may have crossed over to vote for Grossman in this election.
Sure. I think it's really important to remember that the FOP is the police union and it's not the actual police department. So there are definitely members of the police department that supported Larry, such as the Guardian Civic League, which is the organization that represents black police officers here in Philadelphia. And that Larry has a very good relationship with the police commissioner here. So there is a difference between the FOP and the department itself. And frankly, I personally would have been pretty surprised if the FOP had endorsed Larry. Larry has a long history of holding police accountable for abuse and misconduct and doing that through the court system. And it's something that, frankly, people crave and want to see more of in the district attorney's office, because we know that the abuse and corruption happens when there are some bad apples, and that it ruins the relationships between communities and the very good police officers, of which they are by far the majority, and that we need an office that's going to hold the police accountable so that we can move forward and improve community relationships.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Carol, because we hear the bad apple argument quite a lot when it comes to policing. The movement for Black Lives, they object to some of that because, of course, not all police officers go out and beat, as 26 police officers did in Philadelphia, 22-year-old Tyree Carroll for no good reason, or shoot and kill unarmed Black people. But there is institutional racism that I think Larry has spoken about. So to just say it's a few bad apples really undermines the systemic or sidelines the systemic racism that Black communities who came out in force, from what I understand, voting for Krasner, that they're complaining about.
Absolutely. I mean, systemic racism in the police department is obviously something that will be tackled through Larry's work in the district attorney's office, and is why so many people of color supported and came out in force for Larry. However, I do think that, you know, there are people who voted for Larry who might not come from those communities, for whom systemic racism is not a daily experience of theirs, and we're still...
So why did they vote for Larry?
I think they're still very much in favor and understanding of the fact that even if the FOP doesn't endorse, it doesn't mean that there aren't police that are on Larry's side and on the side of justice. And I think that there are a lot of his issues that they stand behind as well. And when you look at the issue of public education in Philadelphia, as is true in many cities around the country, we are not able to adequately fund our schools, and part of that is because we're spending $40,000 a year on people in prison per person.
Yeah.
So I think that there are a lot of people who understand the economics of what that means, and that we're putting our money into putting every time we put somebody in prison who does not need to be there, we're taking away a guidance counselor. We're taking away a teacher from their child's school. We are taking away a school nurse. We are taking away the ability to have books in libraries and schools.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's a message that's very understandable to many people.
Right. And so, because I'm looking at a quote here from Larry Krasner when he announced his run for the DA. This was in Philadelphia Magazine. He said, "We have the highest percentage of incarcerated people of the nations in the world. We have more men of color in prison, jail, or probation or parole than when we're in slavery at the start of the Civil War. Are we safe? The answer, we are not." And of course, he's using the statistic from Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, just in terms of your role with the neighborhood engagement coordination with the Krasner campaign, is the listening sessions that I think you helped to organize in communities. I know one that happened at the Crossroads Women's Center. They've never had such a thing before, right? Of somebody who was running for elected office, and very much a lot of impoverished and grassroots women, but Krasner turned up and spent time with them answering questions. Tell us about that.
Sure. So a lot of campaigns talk about voter engagement, and there's a difference between voters who are registered and voters who go to the poll. Voter registration in Philadelphia is not as much of a problem as actually voter engagement and getting those registered voters to show up at the poll. And so I personally feel that we need to flip that conversation and not talk as much about voter engagement, but talk about candidate engagement in those communities where voters are not necessarily showing up at the polls. And in Philadelphia, those happen to be neighborhoods of poverty. Those happen to be neighborhoods with high concentrations of people of color and high concentrations of people who have contact with the district attorney's office and with the criminal justice system. For us, it was not just a calculus about let's go where the votes are, but for us, it was about how do we learn from communities that are most impacted by the criminal justice system about the changes that need to be made. And the listening session that you're referring to is one that we had focused on women, poverty, and incarceration. It is a powerful thing to go into a community with a candidate not to just handshake, but to have lengthy conversations and be willing to stay as long as it takes at an event to speak to every single person who is lined up in a long line behind a microphone, asking questions, engaging in issues that directly impact their families and neighborhood.
That is absolutely amazing. I mean, it is a kind of a bottom-up approach as opposed to top down. We usually see those in money really controlling it. And I'm wondering, I mean, putting Larry Krasner's win within the broader context, we see that Bernie Sanders, our revolution nationally, they won 21 seats. Larry, in the clip that we played, talked about progressive DAs increasingly in Brooklyn, Chicago, and other places. And in, I'm wondering, other major cities, including in Los Angeles, where the district attorney there, Jackie Lacey, has long been criticized by Black Lives Matter. And one has to wonder that likely DAs like Jackie Lacey and others are looking at what happened with Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, where it seems as though he stuck to his progressive principles and that kind of bottom-up approach. And it worked remarkably with a whopping 75% of the vote. So just final comments from you in terms of lessons that can be learned from Larry's campaign and election.
Sure. I mean, I think it is a convergence of a lot of different factors. One is that Larry is a candidate who walks the walk and that you could look at the 30-year history of his career and know that he's not just pulling out a progressive line because we need to resist Trump. This is who he is to his core, and it is the work that he has done. So I think it is important that you have the right candidate running for these district attorney offices, and also that you do incorporate the grassroots constituencies, the issues that matter to them. And we have had a very robust dialogue with a group here called the Coalition for a Just DA. It's comprised of, I think at this point, almost 30 different organizations, many of them grassroots organizations. So that is not just the candidate setting the agenda, but it is the people saying, this is what matters to us. We're not just going to hold you accountable if you're elected, but we're also going to hold you accountable as a candidate.
Right.
And we're going to hold you accountable to creating a platform that represents the community's needs.
Coalition for a Just DA. I think everybody listening, wherever this show is heard, I'm sure is taking note of that, because the whole issue of mass incarceration, policing, et cetera, so much gets to the heart of the day-to-day things that communities of color and other low-income communities are dealing with. But finally, Carol, looking at an article in The Atlantic where they talked about some rumors that there are a number of assistant DAs that are opposed to Larry and may walk out or may leave if he wins. How concerned, as far as you know, I don't know if you do, is the Krasner campaign about this? And are there other who can kind of step in if those others leave?
Yeah, I mean, we're really not concerned about this because in that office, there has to be a good match between the assistant district attorneys and Larry. And so if there are people working there now who feel that that's not a good match for them, then it's appropriate for them to find another place of employment. And we have had such a tremendous national groundswell of support around his candidacy and around his win that we know we are going to be getting many job applications from outside the city as well, and have already launched a website, which is KrasnerTransition.com, where people can upload their resumes and cover letters. I think it's very exciting to many young people who are coming out of law school and who are interested in working for justice, and to have an option that's not only going to work for the public defender, but how can we bring justice into the prosecutorial side of things as well?
Right. Krasner,
so I think we're going to have a lot of really great viable candidates if we end up seeing some folks leave the current.
I'm sure. We're going to post this actually on our social media, KrasnerTransition.com. We are going to have to leave it there, but congratulations to Larry Krasner. We've been following his campaign very, very closely, and we want to thank you, Carol Rosenthal, for joining us. Thank you
Absolutely.
So very much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we also want to thank Phoebe Jones Schellenberg, who is a coordinator of the Crossroads Women's Center, for her help with this particular segment.